So the best way to think about that is you come back to first principles, right? Which is that the Lord is the Word. And so there's never been a time when the Lord hasn't been glorified. I mean, he's God, right? So what the process describes is how our grasp of the Lord at the level of the natural, our natural understanding of things, if you like, has to undergo a transformation whereby we recognize that the Word is in fact the Lord. That's the glorification of the Lord from a logopraxis perspective. It's the glorification of the Word, or a recognition that the Word, right down to the very text itself, is divine. It is the Lord present with us. And in that process, if we just take it over, say, a 2-week period, it's probably easier to just limit it in that sense. You come to the text, you get caught up in the historicals, and those historicals are person, place, time, and space elements. So they are the things that are taken from the world that the Word is clothed in. And so the understanding that we gain, which is full of person, place, time, and space, is the maternal human. It's the human taken from the world. So that understanding of the Word sits in our minds. And while the Word is understood historically and literally, the power to transform us at the level of our states is weak. It's called the infirm human. So the Word of the Lord is the divine human, if you like. And then what happens is that, okay, so then we begin to work with something from the text. And to do that, we have the experience of putting off person, place, time, and space so that we can start thinking about it spiritually. And so then the spiritual principle starts to come to the fore, and that is the human from the Father starting to come through. So if you think about that, Father is good. Good in logopraxis is doing the practice, doing the work. And as you do the work, so the principle starts to come alive. And then the whole thing is glorified. You see how now that the literal level contains what is divine. And because now you see the literal level of the Word as representative, what is internal can shine through it. Whereas if we see the representation as the thing in itself, it blocks things. So that's what's meant by this idea of angels and spirits thinking abstractly that was read out. So that's 6653. So the need to remove ideas of person, place, time, and space in regard to the text is what allows the text to then be applied to states of mind, which is what it means to think spiritually, and that is how the Word is glorified through that process. So the Lord in the world is a representation of the Word within the mind, within the human mind. So we know that angels, it talks about angels have no idea of any person in the world. That's not how they think. They think in terms of states of mind, they don't think in terms of historical events or anything like that. So it has to be about good and truth, or the Word within the human mind. And so what you have in terms of the Lord's life in the Gospels, as an example, is you have the journey of the Word within our own minds. And so every character, every confrontation, all of that represents psycho-spiritual realities, belief structures, attitudes that have to be dealt with, and the Lord Himself represents the Word moving through our mind, opening up those things that we have to see and shun in order to be regenerated.